You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour has arrived. We'll head to Columbia, South Carolina in just a few minutes. We've had Kirk Herbstreit on and so many other fantastic guests. Let's get back to the calls. Ann is up next. Good afternoon, Ann.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
So I'm a lifelong Alabama fan, but I just wanted to ask you a question about Brian Harsin in Auburn. And that is, what do you think the chances are that those boosters in Auburn already have his casket made of yellow wood pressure-treated lumber?
Well, that is certainly the pressure wood of choice. I frankly didn't think too much was made out of the firing the other day, the resignation. Everyone knew it was going to happen. Once Harsin failed last season, it became part of the tapestry of Auburn. And I think the real question now is, what happens to Brian Harsin? Can he get out of trouble? And if not, do some of those pressure wood boys already have his replacement chosen?
I think that's the question, too. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's good to hear from you. And let's check out Brad in Destin next. How are you, Brad?
Doing good, Paul. How are you today?
Fantastic. Thank you.
I was going to ask you a couple of questions about the transfer portal. And would you agree that it has probably been one of the biggest changes in college football in the last probably 25 years?
Brad, I can't think of anything similar. I mean, I know there were times when you had a bunch of propositions that hurt certain players being
right.
Eligible, but that was still fairly limiting. And ultimately, the SEC took care of that. But I don't even think really since the 80s when the scholarship limitations came along has anything even been close to this.
I agree with you. You know, if you look at the caller prior to this was talking about Auburn. If you look at Auburn's quarterback room, their starting quarterback transferred from LSU. Isn't that right? Finley?
Yeah. I mean, they've got two from LSU, don't they?
Well, they've got the quarterback.
No, they got one from LSU, one from A&M, and one from Oregon.
There you go. That's their three,
yeah.
Their top three. So, obviously, they're going to depend on a transfer to lead them out of the promised land, lead them to the promised land, hopefully. But you look at Alabama, the best linebacker was from Tennessee a few years ago. And then also on defense, cornerback played at
LSU.
Played at LSU. Go to the offensive side, you know, your key offensive player, your left tackle, started at Vanderbilt last year.
And your best running back came from Georgia Tech.
There you go. And your two wide receivers were from University of Louisville and University of Georgia. And so do you think with the transfer portal being the way it is that ADs will have a quicker firing trigger than they used to because they think, well, you can just go plug and play and get somebody to fill in.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's interesting, Brad, when you were coaching at the beginning, I mean, there was almost a standard 4 years nobody was going to get fired before 4 or 5 years. Yeah, I think there's so many factors right now. And, you know, I mean, you bring up ADs, and I mean, you could do a book on the disastrous decisions that ADs have made primarily because of essentially a monopoly of talent that belongs to one person.
That's correct. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And now, you know, with the numbers being the way they are, if you sign 25 guys, you look and say, okay, how many of those are going to be there after 2 years?
Sure.
You know, because, you know, I would venture to say maybe half of them. You know, the rest of them are going to transfer and, you know, use the old phrase.
Well, I mean, look at the situation, Brad, at Texas. You've got the number one player in the country from a year ago who leaves high school early, goes to Ohio State, and smartly left there quickly to go back to where he should have gone in the first place. You've got the number one player of this class going there as well. Something's going to give. You know that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think people I think that's the most interesting quarterback situation, because if yours turns out to be really good, then what do you do if you're Arch Manning?
That's correct. That's a good point right there. But I just want to make a couple of points about the transfer, and I appreciate you taking my
call. To hear from you. Hope to see you soon. It was good to see you a couple of months ago. Hey, thank you very much. It is time for Jeff in Columbus, Ohio.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff.
What a great interview you had with Kirk Herbstreit, Paul. I mean, why last Thursday would you question me about Herbie being a straight shooter after listening to that interview?
It has nothing to do with Herbie. I just question everything you say, Jeff.
Well, I don't understand it. I mean, you just want to come at me that because he's an former Ohio State player. It has nothing to do with it. I learned a couple good things from that analysis he was giving
no,
us.
No, I agree. I thought what Kirk did there was as smart of an analysis as we've had here on the program of college football X's and O's.
Yeah, about the whole Bryles offense. Yeah. I never realized about the wide receivers being out wider than normal and making the defense call their shot. That's something I'm going to pay attention to now. I don't get that stuff when the hot take blowhards come on, you know, that like to give us all this other stuff. Herbie broke it down just in fact. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was unbelievable.
There's actually one guy I've heard that from, but only one, and you're right. Most analysts are not as clear and concise and as easy to understand as he is, and that's why he is where he is.
Right, and same with the breakdown of Ohio State's prior defense about the single high, you know, safety and being very predictable. I mean, he explained it simply. Like I said, straight shooter, no nonsense, not trying to be, you know, all this fluff, not coming off arrogant and know-it-all, but just breaking it down like a great analyst does. That's why when you asked me who is a great analyst, I said Kirk, and then you questioned me. Now you just need to go back and listen to the podcast, Paul, and it'll explain it exactly what I was trying to say.
Well, I tell you what, Jeff, when I listen to that, it will be the first time I've ever re-listened to this show.
I thought you listened to all my calls over and over.
No. The podcast version I have, your calls are deleted.
I got to give you that's a good line right there, Paul. I mean, hey, is this game week or what?
Yeah, it is. And listen, all the great games out there, there's one that matters the most, and that's the one that we've been talking about between Ohio State and Notre Dame. It's a fascinating matchup.
It really is. It really is. Has a lot of different angles to it with Freeman coming back in his first game. And like Kirk said, the whole question is, most of your honest Ohio State fans, they're still holding their breath about the defense until they see it on the field. You know what I mean? We've heard great reports. We've heard people at practice saying that they look totally different. But I think we got to see it on the field, you know, and be proven that we got the athletes that don't get you know, in a bunch of one-on-one matchups and get beat. It's going to be interesting. I think the defensive line could be dominating but they got to have the linebackers, and that's been the problem the last couple of years, in my opinion, is linebackers and the safeties. If we can shore that up, it's going to be a good year, but it's got to be proven on the field, you know? I mean, what do you think about it? What do you think? You think Ohio State wins this convincingly?
I do, and I don't have any data to support that other than just an opinion, but that's what we do. I think Marcus Freeman will be.
But you know, Ohio State in recent history has struggled in big non-conference games at home for some reason.
Yeah, I remember last year's Oregon game.
Right, and then Virginia. Virginia Tech, the year we won the title, we got beat by Texas at home. So that's something, once again, that's got to be proven on the field. I think it's even though we're 17.5 point favorites, they got, you know, got to come out and hit them in the mouth early and get that offense clicking early, which they haven't proven to do in these big early non-conference games.
Yeah. Everything you've said is true. Let's follow that up with the paralegal from New Orleans.
Oh, my God. What a blowhard. Oh, my God.
Wow. He caught me off guard with some of that Captain Obvious stuff. So what about you?
Oh, jeez. I couldn't really take it. I had to move the phone away from my head. Even with about a 6 feet distance, I could still kind of hear him blathering on the other end. But, hey, Paul, did you hear the news today? Gorbachev died.
Mikhail Gorbachev passed away, the former leader of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, so went Perestroika and Glasnost. But have you heard anything about Dale Brown? I saw where Timmy B posted something that Dale's not doing well.
I have not heard that.
No. Anyway. So, Paul, I'm hearing that the Auburn alum want Hugh Freeze as their coach. Any truth to that rumor? Is that something that's in the background?
He is one. If you follow the rumor mill, which it's hard to avoid, he's one of two or three coaches that I've heard mentioned for that job, assuming it becomes available.
Who are the other two?
Well, then, see, if I answered your question, I confirmed your question, but if I threw a bunch of names out there, then somebody could accuse me of being a rumor monger.
Well, let's say if you were going to start a rumor, who would be two likely candidates for that job outside of Hugh
Freeze? Well, there is another one, but I am, out of respect, I am not going to mention it on the air. Out of respect for Harsin and out of respect for this coach.
Okay. Well, I was just curious.
But Augie, if you would subscribe to my private service for $3.55. I'll be happy to give it to you tonight at 1-900-CALL-PAUL. We're up against the break. We have one more guest to come. Ben Portnoy from the state covers South Carolina. We'll talk about it in a minute.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul.
Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and we were listening a minute ago to Coach Beamer, and now we're talking to Ben Portnoy, who covers the team for the state. Ben, it's great to have you on the program. I've gotten to know you so well over the years, and how are you, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I'm good, Paul. Just gearing up here for week one, but excited to be here, and thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Beamer continues to captivate students and fans. So talk a little bit about what we know. And I know we heard from Spencer Rattler, which was a big deal. Kind of give us the lay of the land from Columbia.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you look at right now where South Carolina is in the SEC, you know, folks are excited. I mean, it's sort of been the ultimate kind of good vibes team or whatever you want to call it. I mean, this is a team that people are really excited about, that people are really high on. I think that when you add a guy like Spencer Rattler, that only sort of adds to the equation. When you combine that with Shane Beamer's personality and how charismatic he is, and obviously overachieving a good bit last year relative to what I think I and just about everyone in this conference thought they might be last year, getting to 7-6 and a bowl win. Folks are really excited, and with reason. I mean, you look at this roster, like I said, with Spencer Rattler, with some of the other transfers, everything they bring back. And South Carolina's a really tricky team, I think, to peg right now. But I think that makes them interesting going into week one.
Ben, let's talk about Rattler, because a year ago he was the Heisman favorite. Everybody knows that story, and he has landed well, and expectations are sky high. What are you seeing and hearing that will convince any of us, or all of us for that matter, that this time it's going to be for real?
Yeah, I think right now, I mean, so far from what we've heard and been told and otherwise that you hear through the grapevine, I mean, everything seems to be going sort of according to plan. Spencer Rattler has said and done all the right things. Folks are excited. People think that he can really take this offense to a different level. I think that when you look at it last year, I mean, South Carolina played four different quarterbacks last year. One's a graduate assistant. One's a guy who's started as a quarterback, has been transferred to receiver, and kind of played all over the field. So I think that just the fact that South Carolina has a guy that they feel comfortable with to be the starter the whole year, I think, is at least a step up. But I think when you look at what Spencer's brought, whether that's in scrimmages, whether it's in the spring game, folks are excited. They think he's got a high ceiling. I think that, generally speaking, he elevates the floor here in Columbia. I think that he's a guy that can spin it for sure. Now, is he a Heisman candidate? I don't know about that. But I think that he's a guy that can be a, you know, top 4, 5, 6 quarterback in this league for sure. And I think that makes a big difference for a South Carolina team that should be really good defensively and, frankly, shouldn't have to be that much better offensively, I think, to take a step forward.
Ben, you mentioned defense. I mean, last year it did come up large in some of the very big games. The offense at times was pretty porous, especially toward the end of the entirety of the Clemson game. Give us some more names and people to watch other than Rattler, who obviously is the big star.
Yeah, I think offensively, Marshawn Lloyd's the one that comes to mind. I mean, he's a former sort of borderline 5-star guy at running back. He's a guy that, you know, Penn State, Georgia were after, and then commits to South Carolina towards ACL in his first camp, and was, you know, still kind of a little bit limited or maybe not fully confident in that knee last year. But that's a guy that folks really expect to have a big season this year. You throw in a couple more transfers, Austin Stogner, who comes over from Oklahoma with Spencer Rattler, Christian Beal Smith from Wake Forest, who, you know, led the Demon Deacons in rushing, even when Kenneth Walker was splitting reps in the backfield with him there. He's injured right now. We'll see how much he's able to play on Saturday and sort of week one, week two. And then the other one that I think, at least offensively, that you circle is Juice Wells. He's a guy who comes from the FCS level, played at James Madison, pretty much rewrote their record books in about a year and a half, 2 years. And he's a guy that folks here really think can be a number one target, a really big piece of this offense. And I think, frankly, he's the kind of guy that you sort of look up at the end of the year and might end up being, you know, a second or third team all SEC guy sort of out of nowhere, or maybe isn't being talked about anywhere outside of Columbia.
Ben Portnoy with us from the state. Ben, I want to talk about covering Shane Beamer. I mean, some coaches, it's a challenge. I mean, the coach has to convince people that he's approachable just to, so the media understands whatever is going on. Some coaches are funny. Some coaches are aloof. What is Shane Beamer like to be around and to cover?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Shane and his whole staff really are really approachable and easygoing and easy to get along with. I think that, you know, with a lot of college coaches, we see sort of bits and pieces of it. You know, some are more contentious with reporters than others. I think it just depends on the person and depends on the personality. But I think that, you know, there's not a lot of fakeness to what Shane Beamer shows, whether that's in a press conference or behind the cameras or away from the cameras or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you know, what you see is what you get. I think he's a guy that really is genuine, really is, you know, who he preaches he is. I think that, you know, when you get a new head coach and you go into the job, right, you start calling around and get to know people around the person and all that. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find one person in college football to say a bad thing about Shane Beamer. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it's the reality. And I think that he's a guy here that people, again, are really excited about, really can rally around. And, you know, being a reporter has been great to deal with on our end as well.
I think I was talking to you in media days, and I was joking about Shane Beamer doing too well his first year. But when you look at the schedule, there may be some truth to that. He turned a couple of games late. He won that bowl game, which really carries a long way. He didn't do well in the game that really mattered at the end, which a lot of people, including one of my colleagues, predicted that they would win convincingly. So as we turn the page toward the season, it this weekend shouldn't be too bad, but it gets serious, and it gets serious very quickly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at week two against Arkansas. That's your first road trip of the year. That's a long way to go against a good Arkansas team. I mean, heck, I wouldn't even look past Georgia State. Sean Elliott's a guy who was an assistant under Steve Spurrier for a long time. He's going to have his guys ready to go. You know, I spent some time with Sean during media days this summer, and that team is ready to go. I mean, they're really experienced. They're really good. I think they're a team that's going to be in the top half of a really good Sun Belt. So that's not one to take lightly even. And then, like you said, you see the schedule on the screen. I mean, Georgia, Kentucky coming up not too long down the pipe, and then Texas A&M as well. And then you close with Florida, Tennessee, and Clemson, which is sort of a nod to past years and sort of that run of orange at the end of a season. But I think that, you know, you look at the schedule, I mean, you feel pretty good about South Carolina getting to probably about 5 wins, but then it's, okay, where do they go from there? Can they get to 7 or 8? Can they get to 6, frankly? I mean, you're going to have to beat someone that maybe you're not going to be projected to beat. And I think that's where, you know, if you look at last year, certainly we didn't expect Auburn and Florida to kind of fall off the way that they did. But maybe that happens down the stretch at Tennessee or Florida, or you know, maybe South Carolina punches up and gets Arkansas or Kentucky or maybe even A&M here, who I'm not, you know, quite as high on as most people might be. So I think there's a chance for South Carolina to punch above their weight, but the schedule does them no favors. And then obviously having to close the season against Clemson is never never an easy task, especially under Dabo Swinney.
Yeah, Ben, I was thinking big numbers, but as you were going through that schedule, I mean, I got a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach, because I mean it is just fraught with such danger. You know, A&M in Arkansas, yeah, it can always be worse. You could get Alabama, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think you could start any more difficult circumstance than Arkansas, Georgia back to back, and then at Kentucky. I mean, at Florida, those are games that are mysteries. But if both are good, then. What happens, though, if this season doesn't pan out and all this optimism, which has been building, comes in flat?
It's a good question. I think that's the thing we keep asking ourselves here in Columbia is kind of what happens if South Carolina goes 5-7 or 6-6 or doesn't, you know, get to a bowl game or whatever that might look like. I mean, the reality is that South Carolina was probably on paper, what, a 2-3-4 win team last year. They punched above their weight. They beat some people they weren't supposed to, and maybe that happens again. But I mean, on paper right now, South Carolina is a better team than they were last year. Now, whether that actually translates to wins, it's sort of tough to say, right? I mean, there's a world where this team ends up going 6-6 and maybe gets a shot and goes 7-6 in a bowl game, but they're actually a better football team than they were last year. And I think that's kind of where I fall on it. I don't think it's necessarily that South Carolina is going to completely waste the momentum they've had. I don't see them necessarily falling completely flat on their face and going, you know, 4-8 or 5-7 or seeing the sort of bottom drop out, I think they're probably still going to end up getting to a bowl game. I think I'm curious to see how fans react, especially if this team goes 6-6 again and say doesn't, you know, win a game they're supposed to or blows one late or something like that. And, you know, does that sort of slow some of that momentum in a year where you were supposed to be really bad and now all of a sudden people kind of think that you should be punching into that upper part of the SEC East? And of course, these things aren't always linear. So I'm not convinced that South Carolina is going to see the bottom fall out, but I do think there's a world where this team ends up finding, you know, going 6-6, but is actually still a better football team, even if it doesn't reflect its that in the win-loss column.
Great stuff from Ben Portnoy from the State. Ben, good to see you. Hope to see you soon, and I have a feeling we will. We are heading to the break. A lot to do here in the final 30 minutes. Many guests, including Herb Street a few minutes ago. It's all yours, meaning you. I mean you. We're coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Don't forget, Labor Day, we're all here, including the season premiere. Thinking Out Loud, Monday, 7 p.m. And we are back with Thinking Out Handsome Joe. Good afternoon, Handsome.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum. And hey, don't let the critics critique you too much. You ain't so bad looking yourself, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. That means a lot from a good-looking guy like you.
That's right. I mean, hey, we can't help but being, you know, good-looking, Paul. But anyway, I do want to give props to Vanderbilt. You know, you said good luck to him last week. I said good luck to him Friday. And, Paul, Jeff and Columbus better be glad they're playing Notre Dame and not Vanderbilt. Because We don't really care about Notre Dame or Ohio State. I mean, we got bigger games, Paul. I mean, you got Oregon, Georgia playing. LSU's playing somebody in Florida, I think. I don't know who they're playing. And the team that Alabama's playing, if I'm not mistaken, did they not win 11 games last year?
I really don't know, but I'll check on that.
Well, I mean, but Jeff needs to, you know, It's all fine and good. I mean, I like his call, Paul. I really do. But I mean,
you do?
I mean, we don't care. He sounds like a lipless possum when he calls in, because all he wants to call in and talk about Ohio State, Paul. And I know that your broadcast goes worldwide, but the majority of the listeners is about SEC football, and we don't really, you know, SEC fans really does not like Ohio State or Notre Dame. In fact, I like Notre Dame more than I do Ohio State.
Because why don't you like Notre Dame or Ohio State?
I do like Notre Dame.
Okay, well, why don't you like Ohio State then?
Because they're just arrogant, Paul. They're just arrogant. They every time they play SEC team, they get blowed out. And then they say, well, next year, this is their year. This is their year. And, Paul, I mean, this is like a recording going round and round and round. You know, Yeah, they're good in a little weak conference like the Little Ten conference. But, I mean, when they come down here and play SEC teams, Paul, you know what? They get blowed out. They could go undefeated. Undefeated. But undefeated don't mean nothing in the big. I mean, in the Little Ten. It don't mean nothing. You can go 8-4 in the SEC and beat Ohio State. Because, you know, they may have a big university with, you know, a lot of students and all that right there, but they still can't get 11 men on the field at a time. And they can't compete with the talent we got down here in the South, Paul. They just can't compete with it, Paul. But I do hope that Hawaii is not that bad. I hope Vanderbilt has got that good because, Paul, I root for that team. I do. And if Hawaii is the worst, I don't even know what conference Hawaii is in. They may be a junior college league. I don't know. But Vanderbilt, Paul, when you get curb stomped by 53 points by Vanderbilt, you suck. I mean, Vanderbilt
right.
Beat them 53 points. I mean, how bad have you got to be to get curb stomped by Vanderbilt?
Pretty bad.
I mean, that's just pretty bad, Paul. But anyway, Paul, I won't keep you up too long because I know
you.
It's getting late and you want more callers to get on here. But, hey, I just want to say Roll Tide and, hey, we got some bigger games down here. Nobody cares about Notre Dame and Ohio State game this weekend. So, Jeff, just, you know, keep your little lipless possum lips closed and root for your little team up there in the Little Ten. And, hey, Roll Tide, Roll Paul, Fine Bob. Love you, brother.
Thank you so much. What a great, great call that was. Sheila is up next in Alabama. Hello, Sheila.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, Paul Feigenbaum? How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
You know you're fine, Paul. I'm going to leave it at that. But anyway.
Thank you.
I would like to say this about Brian Harsin. Brian Harsin is next if he doesn't get his act together. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because the writing's on the wall. You can't come in with that Boise State of mind in Auburn. You have to be with the SEC. He didn't adapt to the culture. It was all about him. That's the problem. And now, you know, after much media training and making get him out shaking hands and kissing babies like he's running for the governor of Alabama, all of a sudden he gets, this is where you are. So any coach that wants to come in, I think they're going to keep Harsin if he does well. But any coach after that, get this, hear me clear. When you come to Auburn, when you come in the Plains, when you come in the SEC, adapt. Don't bring that Midwestern crap here. Don't bring the Pacific West. Don't bring Hawaii. Don't bring it. It's all about the SEC, and if you don't adapt to the culture, then you don't need to be here, period. And I think that's what got him. Alan Green was going to go. He's the same way. He played baseball at Notre Dame. He's the same way. They come here thinking, oh, I'm cool about them bringing their expertise, their scientific ways. I'm good about that.
Yeah, Sheila, you said something really interesting, and you know, sometimes you have to change cultures. I mean, you hear – CEOs say that all the time, but Auburn is one of the most unique places I've ever been, and people like it there. When you go there, you don't want to leave. I've seen this once or twice at Auburn in the past before you were probably around, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't, and I'm not defending the good old boys in the back room, but those good old boys in the back room have been there for a long time, and they have had a lot of success too. So I think it becomes so cliche to say, oh, Auburn being Auburn. No, that's not really the case here. Auburn, the mistakes that Auburn's trying to get out of mistakes that were made years ago, some by the president who's long gone and should have been, and then it's a trickle down effect.
Well, I just think that when you come to a university like that, and you know, I don't think they'd be saying that about Alabama. They got a culture too. You just heard from Hanson Joe. Hanson Joe, you know, Roll Tide, Roll Tide, Roll Tide, War Eagle, War Eagle. War. It's a culture. It is what it is. I'm agreeing with you, Hanson Joe, about Notre Dame and Ohio State. I love Notre Dame, but nobody really cares. But in the SEC, going back to Harsin, I mean, he, you know, that whole edge. I like his edge. I loved him at Boise. I really did.
He's an intense guy, Sheila.
Yes, I love that about him, and I think right now that he got schooled about where he really was, I think Brian Harsin's going to bring it. I hate they're not ranked, but I think they're going to bring it. You were right about T.J. Finley, but I was right about Robbie Ashford. he's in second. And check this out. I think Calzada's going to be looking to go back in the portal, because if those two guys bring it, you know, it's he might as well start looking. What do you think?
I well said. You've done a great job of analyzing. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey,
what you got,
Brett,
Matt?
I'm sorry I called you a lot, man. I've been busy. I want to talk to you about Hayes Canyon Tech saying him. And I got one thing to say about that demo Ohio State caller. I don't like him, Paul, because he tells you what to do. Tells you how to do your job. And my TCU brother, look, you know how to do your job a lot better than he's dumb, but knows how to do your job. You wouldn't like it if you told him, go buy this lumber, or go do this, or go do that. So he just needs to shut up and stop doing that to you, man. But I think this team is going to do good with Hayes King this year. I'm not saying the all-star quarterback like Bryce Young, but I'm also waiting to see how this team with Hayes King, this defense, gets better this year and takes that next step. I don't know what your thoughts on that, Paul.
Well, I think he's – listen, he was the best quarterback last year. He's the best quarterback this year. I mean, Calzada just profited all – I mean, if you take one game out of Calzada's resume, it really wasn't very good.
Yeah,
what's really interesting is that Harsin wanted Calzada, though. That's the surprising thing. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.